Hello and welcome to the Rap Sheet Podcast, episode 13 for Sunday, 4th of July. I'm your host, Samuel Gibbs, and with me today are...
I'm Vlad Savo.
Richard Lai.
And Lauren McGregor.
So we've got a special guest with us today. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Lauren.
Well, I am a PR turned blogger, most recently writing for Tech Tailgirl, my alter ego. And big fan of tech. I work in tech PR. And thank you for having me.
Hey, no worries. So we've got a lot to talk about today, so we're going to dive right into it. And we're going to start off with, well, you might have guessed it, some iPhone chat. Now, iPhone, if you're sick of it, probably skip about 20 minutes into the podcast. and if not, hang with us. So it's not been smooth sailing for iPhone, Apple's golden baby. We've had a bit of complaints here and there, mostly around antenna issues. But Vlad, I think you've got some real beef with the principle of the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real conundrum, I think, because we've all now had a week with our iPhone 4s. None of us have returned it, even though I've been up and down and just fluctuating on that front.
Hang on, before this, there is a bit of a backstory with that. The reason why we asked Vlad first is because he usually tends to buy a gadget.
And then return
like 2 days later.
Because I'm extremely picky.
Yeah. And
so far I've been able to... The Nikon D5000, I never consider returning that. That is a classy piece of kit. That's the only one. But everything else, I've always had a little inkling like this isn't good enough. It's not justifying the price. But the conundrum for me right now is, on principle, I would definitely return the iPhone 4 because it has this reception issue which is just fundamental. And if you don't have a bumper, you're stuck. You basically degenerate your signal just by holding the phone naturally. But in terms of just being pragmatic, this is seriously the best phone I can see. And I hate using the word best because it's such a strong word. But I don't see any other smartphone that can do as much as the iPhone 4 does.
Currently available. Well.
That's right, yeah, currently. Yeah. What about you guys?
Well, I think you touched on the aerial issue, and I have to say, I have got a bumper, but when I take the bumper off, I don't seem to have any signal issues.
Wow.
I know that if I hold it in a certain way, then yes, the signal goes down by one or maybe two bars. So I do see a slight change, but not to the extent where I'm completely going without signal. And I don't know, I think that when Steve Jobs sent that email saying, you know, don't hold it that way, I think that was pretty much the best thing that he could have said, because it's true. I think people are making a big deal of an issue that, yes, it is bad. It's very bad that they've released this phone and it's got this issue and it shouldn't have happened. However, I do feel a bit like, you know, all right, fair enough. They've made a big mistake and let them fix it. And
although they're not actually going to be able to fix it until the next iPhone.
Well,
we don't know. I mean, they Apple released an open letter, 2 days ago?
Friday.
Yeah.
Late on Friday for UK.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're basically openly admitting that, yes, we screwed up. But it's apparently to do with a formula.
Yeah, so basically it was like, yeah, that signal you thought you had, well, not so much. Our calculation for how many bars you've got is way out, and when you stick your hand around the thing, well, maybe you're diminishing it a little bit, but actually it's because the signal wasn't there.
They didn't even say maybe. They don't even talk about hardware. This is the really annoying thing about this letter, and I think me and Lauren really agree on it. This is one of the most patronizing pieces of PR I've ever read.
Definitely. It was terrible. I lost so much respect for Apple. Yes. When I read that.
Well, because fundamentally, at the beginning of this week, we all kind of thought that this was maybe an assembly issue. Maybe some phones had it, some phones didn't.
Yeah.
As the week progressed, we just really settled on the fact that it's a design flaw and that every iPhone has it. And it's a hardware problem. And as Lauren says, it's probably not as big as a lot of people making it out to be. Like, I've only had one drop call because of it, and I was clinging to it in my perfect death grip.
Yeah.
Which wasn't actually natural. Like, I wouldn't hold it that tightly when I'm holding it to my head. So I've only had one drop call with it. Signal degradation might not be as horrible as, you know, some people paint it out to be, but it is an issue and it is a problem. It is hardware. So if you're going to acknowledge that you screwed up, acknowledge the real problem, which is that you messed up with your hardware, not the formula problem with the bars, because I don't think anyone is complaining that, oh, the bar representation is not accurate enough.
Yeah.
What they didn't mention is that you still get dropped calls, and that letter doesn't explain why the bars would affect your calls, unless the formula is also tied to automatically cutting your calls. But I don't think that's the case. So yeah, but I mean, if they can fix it without having to recall the phones. I mean, let's be frank. How many phones have they sold?
They sold 1.7 million phones.
Yeah,
they can't recall all of that.
So do you reckon they're going to put some sort of coating on the outside of the new ones?
No. Sorry, okay. Coming out.
You know what? They could give us Boots vouchers so we could buy our own nail varnish.
Yeah, yeah. And just paint over it. Yeah. Yeah.
You could pick your own favourite brand. Nice.
And just put some sort of non-conductive coating straight over the top of the metal.
Mm.
I mean, it doesn't have to be coloured or anything.
Oh, do you know one fix that I came up with is if they just start selling iPhones with the bumpers glued on, that is going to be a killer phone. There's nothing to fault on that phone.
I think Johnny Ive would have a fit somehow.
He can make a new video and like praise about the whole bumper's design.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, rubber, it doesn't break.
Yeah. It'll bounce.
It just works. Wow.
Just like we intended it to. I mean, to be fair, I can't replicate a signal drop. I can't.
I've been able to do that multiple times in Battersea. We talked about this last time, actually.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
And I'm doing this right now. No, nothing's dropped.
It's a strong signal area.
It's a strong signal area,
we've talked about this. But as I say, it's a major issue. And like fundamentally, I don't think we should be encouraging companies. And the only way we can speak to companies is with our wallets, really.
Yeah,
I don't think we should be encouraging them to kick out a product that is incomplete and unfinished, and that's the one thing.
Say that, because on the launch day, you know, there was still a massive queue in the afternoon. I went back to the queue because I had a friend there, and I showed everyone the signal issue.
Yeah,
but no one budged because they've been there for 4 hours.
Yeah,
people would still go for it and make up an excuse to comfort themselves.
What do you reckon would be required for people to stop queuing and stop buying these things? You know, I mean, what kind of issue are we talking about? Exploding battery?
It should be a hidden spike, which just kind of jumps out and stabs you in the hand.
Or in the ear. So you're on the phone, and then you're dissing Apple on the phone, and Steve Jobs has a remote little button that fires a spike into
your
ear.
The remote kill switch. Yeah. Android has one of those.
Yeah, kill
different
kill
purposes,
phone.
But...
So we're not all that impressed with it. I mean, the phone... If they admitted it was a hardware fault, would you be more open to accepting it, or you know, is it a kind of like if they put their hand up and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, guys, we screwed up. We didn't test this thing without a case because we put it in like their secret make it look like a 3GS cases when they went out, and you know, I assume they were testing it with the bumper and whatnot. So, you know, would that make you appeased, and would it go away after they? Admitted it, or is it going to be a thorn in their hide from evermore?
There's no way they would ever do that. That by saying that, they're giving away a lot of money to lawsuits and all that.
Yeah, I mean, there is. I think there are 4 class action lawsuits currently launched against Apple.
None of them are certified, so people are trying to launch them and unite them or whatever.
Yeah,
but that's the US for you as well.
Yeah. So
I think McDonald's, if McDonald's like discontinues something, somebody brings up a class action lawsuit because it's a fundamental part of their diet or something.
Yeah.
That's the US. Well, look, as I say, any other phone, I might have just returned it on the second day or third day, but I think you guys have not been honest enough with me, because using the iPhone OS on a day-to-day basis is awesome. And nobody told me.
So at this moment in time, Richard has kind of like a frown across his face because the Android salesman doesn't like what he's hearing.
No, well, look, like I said before, I've been through all of the iPhones so far, from the first one all the way to now. Basically, Vlad, the reason Vlad is so impressed now, I'm basically literally looking at a mirror, a reflection of myself.
Just a bit taller.
Just a bit taller, a bit more body hair maybe.
Yeah.
And muscles. From 3 years.
Good looks.
Anyway.
2020 vision.
That's all debatable.
You've crossed the line. You've crossed the line. But him coming, you know, let's be fair, he was a smartphone virgin before the iPhone. So, But no, we're happy. We're happy that you're happy with iOS. And still, like you said, actually, like, this is a good point to sort of look at whether there are any alternatives to the iPhone 4 if people aren't happy with it.
Yeah.
I mean, I would naturally say Android, obviously.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, it's one of the most fully featured competing operating systems currently available. So,
well, personally, I would say there is no other alternative than Android. I mean, if you go to the BlackBerry ecosystem, it's a whole other experience.
Yeah.
Like, I don't consider BlackBerry an iPhone alternative.
Symbian!
Don't go there.
What about Migo?
Oh, Migo's got a good chance.
Yeah, Migo doesn't exist yet.
But
yeah.
Well, the recent, like, Sim looks basically the same as Android.
Yeah, I mean, it looks good. Migo looks good. Symbian 3 also looks good, but at the moment it's a buggy mess and also doesn't exist. So there's a lot of promising stuff for, like, late autumn, but today there is the iPhone and there is Android, and that's another reason why I haven't chucked my iPhone away, is that there isn't a compelling Android alternative for me.
Mm, you're right.
And also, you've just laid down $499 for the thing. It's not like you're going to bin it.
Well, when I say chucked it away, I would have chucked it into the Apple store and then expected some cash to fly back at me.
Yeah, I mean, so as alternatives go, what would you currently rate as the closest competitor to the iPhone?
Let's ask Lauren.
Yeah,
Lauren.
I think I'd have to say the HTC Desire. Now, I've had a play around with one. I haven't had one for longer than a few hours. I've just played with other people's. But I was really impressed with it. I think it's the best one so far. The only problem I have with them is that there's so many different devices and they release them on such a regular basis that, you know, one thing I like about Apple is that, you know, I'll get my iPhone and I know that that's going to be the best one for at least a year. Mm. Just a year. But with, you know, if I was to go onto Android, there's just so much selection and kind of that having the best one doesn't last for as long. But yeah, I think apart from the iPhone, I'd probably have the HTC Desire.
Well, I can look at this in two ways. You can also say, like, since the iPhone's product cycle is so slow, other products will easily catch up between.
That's true.
Faster iteration means more progress normally.
Yeah, so quicker updates if you're not locked to a certain carrier.
With
Android, that is.
With Android, you kind of got the split between devices that get the updates as fast as possible and the devices with kind of skins on top that are basically delayed. Does that put you off the kind of Android ecosphere?
Yeah, I think so. Because
yeah. Ecosystem. Sorry, that's a biologist in me coming through.
That's all right, I understood. But but no, I think so, because I think a common complaint is that, you know, whatever software updates are coming out, you know, X number of people can't get because of the device that they're using. And I think that that's quite a strange kind of way to be, really, that you're not updating everyone.
Well, that's, I mean, it's, in their defense, Google is semi-competing with their own partners in that sense. It's just that they're just launching a vanilla version, which would take less time to be applied to the devices.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying is basically Google should basically wait for their partners before they sort of all push out the update at the same time, I guess.
Well, yeah, but then it's a unique situation, isn't it? Because I think that you forget that Google, you know, are, like you say, competing with their partners. Mm. And that's an interesting point, actually.
Yeah.
And if you put it in that way, then I'd say, no, they shouldn't wait. They should be the first to have it out because, it's their
operating system. It's the benefit of having a Google experience phone.
No, that's very true.
Well, I mean, that kind of delayed kind of release to actually getting the OS upgrade is not unusual. I mean, Windows Mobile did it for years. Mm. I mean, you'd get like 6.5 and you'd never get it on a device you currently own.
Here's a question, Sam. Where's Windows Mobile heading right now?
Into the trash.
Right. So it's not exactly like a prototype of how you should do business, is it?
Definitely not, no.
Right.
I mean, that's a good point. And it brings us on to our next kind of topic for discussion. It's kind of an offshoot of Windows Mobile, and it was looking, well, maybe promising, but I think it was definitely shot in the foot by pricing.
Yeah.
And that's the KIN, the Microsoft KIN. Now, UK listeners might not have even noticed it because it wasn't available here, and Yeah, like, you're never going to get it now.
It never made it across the Atlantic.
No. It was a phone kind of aimed, or a group of phones, aimed at the kind of tweens.
Generation upload.
That's exactly it, yeah, the generation upload. And I think we've talked about it before on the podcast.
Have, yes. Have.
But what I think killed it was the contract pricing, because it was designed to be effectively a cheap kind of smartphone phone alternative. But
I disagree.
They didn't cut the contract prices at all. Data contracts were really hefty on it. So okay. Why would you buy it?
Well, let me just make the point that it wasn't really an offshoot from Windows Mobile. I know it's another Microsoft property, but it was to do with their Danger acquisition and all these other... It was kind of like a parallel project alongside Windows Mobile, which, as you say, was kind of aimed at... And more of the consumer side, the younger side, whereas Windows Mobile is supposed to be the serious OS. And there was there's a bunch of stuff going on behind the scenes that, you know, some of it we know, some of it we don't know. But, like, for example, Windows Phone 7 has become kind of more of a consumer device, more of a consumer OS.
Mm.
And now it in itself has started to overlap with what Kim was supposed to be about. The whole fun thing, camera thing, being a phone and a social device at the same time. So Kin kind of, even from its outset, it didn't really have a very bright future, just because of where Windows Phone 7 was positioned. It was going to have overlap, but then Microsoft screwed up on a bunch of things, as you say, pricing. Richard was going to lead off with other things that killed it.
Yeah, well, you disagree with pricing being the issue. What was the issue for you about the Kin?
No, it was pretty late. I was going to say Chuck Norris killed it, but that's the moment.
Okay, so Verizon pricing, Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
I would also pitch in a terrible camera.
The hardware and either software just...
There was no App Store.
No App Store. It's a... I wouldn't even say it's a smart...
It was a gimped smartphone, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was cut-down smartphone.
It's a cut-down smartphone that relies on the cloud to store your content. Not that it's a bad thing, because, you know, all the phones nowadays, especially the Android phones, kind of do that. But considering how much you need to pay for your data package with Verizon, I forgot if it's unlimited or not, but... Whatever, it doesn't matter. Because
it was too expensive either way.
It's too expensive. It required a lot of... all your photos kind of have to be stored online.
Well, it worked similar principle of the Sidekick, as far as I understood it. So everything on the phone was uploaded into the cloud, their servers. And, you know, I mean, we had that kind of issue where cloud storage let down the T-Mobile Sidekick users, where effectively they did an upgrade of their servers, didn't back up properly, and when they restored the stuff, everybody's data was lost. And I mean, they eventually managed to get it back, but they had a situation where if you turned off the phone and then turned it back on again, next time it connected, it saw nothing on the server and therefore decided to delete everything on your phone.
Wow, so that's terrible.
That is not cool, and I don't think that would ever happen again for cloud storage, because it was kind of like a total disaster that would definitely dent your confidence in cloud storage. But so I mean, like I said, to me it was the contract pricing that really killed it. If you're getting a kind of gimped smartphone, which was designed from the outset, as far as I saw it, to not be as data heavy, because you got things like social networking, you could only connect it every 15 minutes rather than constantly. So that was the idea, was that it would reduce the data usage and therefore reduce, in theory, the contract pricing.
Right.
But it never did.
Well, part of that, and this was, I think, Chris Siegler from Engadget, our Snoop in the US, uncovered this, was that they had agreed a lower pricing point for it. But then for whatever reason, I don't want to say that Verizon changed their mind, but for whatever reason, the pricing jumped up. And the big pitch for Kin was going to be precisely that it would be really cheap and really easy, straightforward way to do your social networking. And that makes perfect sense, because teenagers, as much as they are a big demographic, they don't have the same ability to spend as people like our age.
Yeah, they don't have that liquid cash. Yeah,
yeah. Mm.
People in their 30s. Blimey. Careful who you tar with that brush.
Wow. Oh dear.
So I don't know. So outright failure, was it too late? For me, it would have been a great phone 3-4 years ago.
Yes.
But
strong
because
point.
So you come into the realm of the you know, the iPhone, I hate to keep bring it back to the iPhone, but the iPhone and the app phones, like the birth of Android and things like that, it really killed that kind of segment for me. Why would you Why would you want a GIMP smartphone when you can get a smartphone basically for the same cost?
Yeah, people want to play games, people want to download content and, you know, watch movies and do stuff. It's very, nowadays, you can't, it's basically quite patronising. The game is very patronising. You can't expect the teenagers these days to just buy I'm sure feature phones still have some time to go, but that is a very, very limited feature phone if you must.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't have the benefits of feature phones, which are normally small, long battery life, that kind of thing.
Right. Even feature phones have, like, better camera, yeah, things like that anyway.
Just how bad was the camera?
Well, as far as I know, Laura June contributed to our review on Engadget, and she said it's terrible.
Really? Wow.
I mean, I think we might have even been too soft in the actual review, like being fair and balanced and all that stuff. But in her feedback, just talking to us, she said it was just like, it was important because it was a feature that Microsoft pushed.
Mm.
It's just like we teased Apple on the last podcast about the fact that they pushed their antenna, and then the antenna is the biggest problem with the iPhone 4.
Yeah.
Microsoft pushed the Kin and its low light performance with the camera, and then the camera just gave some horrible results. There was some discoloration and focusing issues and all this just complete nonsense. But I just want to answer Sam's question because it's a good one. Can we call this an outright failure? And I would say, if we don't call the Kin an outright failure, then there is no such thing. What we've confirmed from inside sources is that less than 10,000 units were sold, and it's been out for 2 months, and it's a Microsoft device. So, like, it's not like the Juju, which people would like stumble across and think, okay, I'm interested, but it's a weird brand. I don't know this. I don't understand this. So I'm not going to buy it. It's a Microsoft device. So just by brand recognition alone, you can sell 10,000 devices. Mm,
definitely. Very good point. Very good point.
Oh, since I'm on a roll with good points, Eric Lin from HTC.
Oh, he said something.
Yeah, he says, why am I going to mention him?
Because he's good looking. He's a good looking guy.
I think
that.
Vlad has a man crush.
I think Eric Lin works out. He seems to show.
He's got his guns, yeah. Yeah. Well, go on. What did he say?
Well, he said...
He's a product manager. No.
Well, he's something.
He's something. He's a big guy in HTC. So
he's a guy.
In fact, he used to work for Engadget. Yeah.
Enough with the name drops.
What? He's cool.
We're not the Engadget show here. Yeah. Thank you very much.
So anyway, Eric Lin, who's an HTC dude, we asked him about an HTC tablet, and he said that in order for a tablet to be viable, financially viable, they will need to sell well in excess of 50,000 units, or need to be confident that they'll be able to sell 50,000 units. So, I mean, to not be able to make 10,000, the Kin is definitely at least financially a disaster.
Yeah.
And in PR terms, I think also, because people are going to lose faith.
You're never going to buy anything that's kind of branded with the Kin brand ever again.
And now there's the Kinect.
Yeah, the Kinect. Oh my goodness. So for those who have been in the dark for a while, they basically rolled the kind of Kin kind of connectivity thing into what they now call Kinect, which was Project Natal.
Yeah, so it's motion control gaming.
So why would you do that, especially when it was such an abject failure, as we just pointed out? Why would you keep the brand name kind of in there?
My theory goes...
No, I'm sure it's not related. I'm pretty sure. It's meant to be kinetic and connect.
No. I'm pretty sure it's the other way around.
Is that what they said? They actually said it's...
They haven't said anything, I don't think, about the branding. They've just thrown it in our faces and laughed, probably. I think they're pushing the whole Kin thing because... Another thing is that it's hard to actually like get trademarks nowadays. And trademarks that aren't offensive in some language.
Yeah, very true.
That's true.
So they're pushing Kin and they're pushing the typoed Kinect. As Kinect, as their little branding thing, is just really unfortunate because Microsoft Kinect looks like a high potential thing and a thing that's likely to succeed, whereas Microsoft Kin wasn't.
When you talk about Microsoft, you often think about Windows Phone 7, or at least we do in the tech press.
Right.
So a Windows Phone 7 is progressing nicely as far as I can see. It has issues. Now, you've had some experience with it. What would you say? Is it something to look forward to? Okay, by the look on Vlad's face, I can say that's a no, but tell us more.
Okay, well, I attended a recent briefing with Microsoft here in London, and they were mostly talking about developers and what's going to be their app ecosystem and how they're going to approach things. And, you know, to be honest, like, the really brief and maybe not entirely fair summary is that they're kind of going to do the iPhone their way. It really sounded like, okay, we see that the iPhone is a massive success. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of rip it off, but then instead of circular icons, we're going to have squares, right? And, oh, wait, we can have widgets as well. So that's the big sales pitch is basically, we're doing what the iPhone's doing, but we're going to have widgets as well. That's all I noted from the whole thing.
So it's like the home screen of Android pasted onto the iPhone.
No.
It's a different home screen environment, but it reminds me more of the Nokia and the Symbian home screen.
Really?
It's a vertical thing, and you have these blocks of widgets. So, I mean, honestly, it felt really petty, the whole Microsoft briefing, because they were like, it's never 23 degrees and sunny. I want my weather app to tell me the weather, right? Because the Apple weather icon is 23 degrees and sunny.
Default, the image.
Yeah. It's like, okay, but you guys are selling me a widget. I've seen widgets on Nokia phones like a decade ago, whatever.
But you still don't get widgets on the iPhone.
Yeah, you don't, but I don't think that's a differentiator. I don't think the iPhone plus widgets is going to make people jump.
Especially without copy and paste.
Right. I mean, and I asked them about the multitasking, and they just completely glossed over the fact that they're doing exactly what iPhone 4 is doing with multitasking, which is they're throwing apps into a suspend state.
Yeah, save state, yeah.
Once you leave them. So, and the other thing is, I don't think they're actually doing third-party multitasking yet. Not in the same way. So music will run in the background. I mean, literally, it's like what Apple is doing with iOS 4. Music will run in the background, probably location services will run in the background, exactly the stuff that the iPhone is going to keep. Maybe the browser will run in the background.
Yeah.
But third-party apps running in the background in the same way, they didn't say anything about that.
So it's like it's a threaded kind of system, a bit like what Palm was trying to do originally with Palm OS 6.
Right, but it just seems like we're going to be, let's say, however many months away it is from now, let's say 4 months away from now.
Are we looking at a Christmas launch?
It should be by Christmas. Windows Phone 7 should come out by Christmas.
I thought I saw a date around October.
Well, yeah.
Something.
Okay.
Maybe Acer.
So, and do you reckon they're going to launch with a suite of handsets?
Yeah, they're trying to have handsets from LG and Samsung are definitely doing ones. Richard just said that Acer. Asus are likely to probably put one out as well.
Is HTC going to be in the mix?
No. I haven't heard of anything.
Yeah,
see, that's a real downer for me, because HTC, in my opinion, make the best kind of multi-platform phones out of everybody. They're solid. They're normally pretty feature-rich.
They were full-time Windows Mobile phone manufacturers.
That's very true. And they made all sorts of phones for everybody else too, with the Windows Mobile on it as an OEM.
Good times,
yeah. HTC love it.
Seriously, I love. Windows Mobile was like a big thing back then.
Yeah,
and they did real multitasking, didn't they? Was it?
I'm trying to figure out. You could multitask for about 3 hours before it died.
The reason I mention this is because they're doing a total relaunch of the Windows Phone branding, I guess.
Well, they are keeping the kind of Windows Mobile kind of alive for the corporate customers in their Windows Embedded 7, isn't it? Or Windows Embedded something or other.
Well, something that they said is that they still want to keep Windows Phone 7 attracted to business customers.
Really?
Yeah. But what they're saying is, this is more of a consumer-y device, or a device for consumers, but we think that business customers want a more of a consumer device, is what they're saying. And I'm going to try and pitch a consumer device to business customers as opposed to a business device to consumer customers.
BlackBerry.
Yeah, that's the best example. BlackBerry is supposedly a business device, whereas all the teenagers are buying it nowadays. So I don't know how it's all going to work out. But as I say, They also said they're going to do a bunch of integration. So they're going to integrate Facebook really deeply into the Windows Phone 7 experience. So you don't have to go into a specific Facebook app.
Yeah.
And they're going to try and do that with a couple of other apps in a similar way. But, you know, then that kind of, I don't know, it kind of seems short-sighted because I, for example, don't really use Facebook that intensely. And I'm not convinced that Facebook is going to be around, let's say, 5 years down the line.
Really?
Quite in the dominant position that it is in today. I mean, these things are kind of fluid. They don't hang around. Like, MySpace 5 years ago might have been a lot more relevant than today.
I mean, we've heard rumors that Google wants to get in on the action. Something about and Google Me.
Google Me!
But I think if anybody's got the power to really kick them off their high horse, then talk about Facebook, Google probably has. It already knows most of the information that's on Facebook already about you. I mean, if you're a Google integrated person, like Google services, it's search and stuff, they've just got to tap that small vein that's a line between having... letting you know that they've got all your information and being convenient, because if they suddenly fill out a profile for you before you've even got there with all your information, your birth date, your friends, your, you know, what you had for lunch, you're going to be freaked out, aren't you? I mean, so yeah.
Well, maybe if it does my CV for me, I can live with it.
Boom, there you go, Googled.
Let's ask Lauren, because we've kind of been hogging up the air. How do you feel about this whole thing? Like, well, we know you like Twitter.
Yeah.
We know you like Twitter.
Okay.
But what about things like Facebook and, let's say, Google Buzz and this potential Google Me? Do you feel like your privacy is going to be dented a little bit?
Invaded.
Well, I think that whatever you put online, you have to have a bit of responsibility for. And I think that, you know, us kind of in the industry understand a lot more about how things are shared and how people can access that information and use it. But I do think that a lot of kind of everyday consumers, they don't realise how much stuff they're sharing. So I think that there's a real issue of kind of almost hand-holding with people and letting them kind of understand much more about what people can do. And I know that has been covered a lot in the news, but I think that, you know, companies like Facebook and if Google are going to come into it as well, they need to have more responsibility. And I know privacy settings are you know, helping that out as well. But, I mean, there is a real issue. And going on to Google getting into the game as well, I think that people are very invested in Facebook, and it's not quite the same as with MySpace. I think that was just at the start when people kind of had a MySpace and a Facebook and, you know, whatever else.
A Bebo.
Yes, a Bebo. Oh, dear.
Good old Bebo.
I thankfully never did. Did you do that?
I did. Oh. I did. It was only because everyone at school started doing it. And
yeah, no, fair enough.
You press ganged into it.
Well, I had no friends and all that.
Oh, can we get an R from our listeners? Oh, Rich.
Thanks, anyway. Sam. Anyway, so let's... So going back to the key... I forgot how we... Well, yeah.
Well,
so,
we talked about death of kind of like products.
Yeah.
You know, the kin died.
So, I mean... So it wasn't just the kin that died on the same day.
The sidekick also died a death.
A sidekick, which is what, kind of like kin, anyway.
It was a T-Mobile sidekick. It's a US-centric product.
You can get it here, though.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that. Well, apparently it's going to be discontinued in its current form, but potentially the brand could be resurrected down the line in Android form.
Droid side sidekick.
Yeah.
Imagine an ad for that.
Have a sidekick to your little...
It'll be like an alien spaceship chucking in another new phone down from the sky. You know?
Yeah, I can just see it, right? You got your phone and there's a little green robot following along just in case somebody tries to rob you or something, you know, hearing his sidekick. Anyway, but...
No, that's actually... I think that would work.
Yeah?
I'd totally hire you.
Guys, do not steal that idea. That is copyright Samuel Gibbs, 2010.
Yeah. Oh, it's Samuel Gibbs now, right?
I said it.
So, okay, sidekick, I mean... Not much to say about it, really, apart from it's just the old BlackBerry. Nowadays, people just use the BlackBerry instead because of the keyboard,
yeah.
I guess. I don't really see anything attractive about this.
No, not to us. It's not a big thing. We're not the target market.
Yeah, so anyway, we can move on, I guess.
Yeah. So,
but that's that. There's also one other product. It's the first else. Not many people might have heard of it because it's not even out yet. But basically, this is from...
Yet. Yes. Never.
Yeah. This is the unborn child from an Israeli company called Emblaze Mobile. Well, now called Emblaze. I don't know. They keep changing names. But it's been in the making since, I think, 3 years ago. And I was at the launch. I got to play with it. And then Vlad and I saw the thing again at CES. We had a chat with their CTO. And basically, we were promised a review unit back in March. And I've been chasing them up since then. And they've basically stopped answering me. They've totally ignored my product requests.
Well, now we kind of know why.
Why. And well, I mean, Nilay called it back in March, and he says it's just going to be vaporware. And he's right. And well, I still had faith back then. I was like, no, Nilay, you're wrong. It's going to be out. But no, it's basically the first else is a Sharp manufactured device. Nothing too exciting about the actual device, but it's all about the software. They call it the Else Intuitive mobile platform.
It was totally different, wasn't
it? It's a very futuristic. You can have a look at our videos and our articles.
We'll link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, it's a very futuristic. It's a single-handed operation, optimized for single-handed operation. Anyway, basically the whole point is you don't have to lift up your finger. You can just do everything in one swipe.
Do you know what's funny about it? It's optimized for single-handed, right-handed operation.
Yeah.
Could you not switch it?
No, you can't. I think I know where Vlad's going.
But where I'm going with that is they could have really killed with that iPhone 4 antenna.
Yeah.
Because then there would be no problems.
Yeah, true. Don't hold it this way because you can't use it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know about you, Vlad, but to me, it's a real shame that they've had to kill it because of, I think it's financial difficulties.
I do agree.
Yeah. It was an interesting paradigm from a UI point of view. It was totally different. Yeah. And I think, you know,
I mean, it's not just the software. It's all about, they were probably being too overly optimistic. They wanted to work with all the carriers and offer like a music store and all that as one package. And yeah, being a little brand, but a little company, that was,
well, you got to shoot high, haven't you? I mean,
well, I mean, look, it made a lot of sense to me because, as I said, I've only been in this industry for a year now, and before that, I hadn't spent too much time with any smartphones. Like when I played with the LG BO40, the screen turned off for me, and I was like, "Wait, what's going on here?" And then someone had to alert me to the fact that if you don't touch it for long enough, it locks itself, and then you have to press the power button, and then you have to unlock it. All these.
Oh, Vladdy!
Oh, Vlad.
Can we get another R from our listeners, please?
We're over that. We've moved on now.
He's a big boy now. Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that's what she said. That's what they all say. There's a lot of things to the whole smartphone experience, and particularly touchscreen smartphones, which are unintuitive and hard. And there's a learning curve for new guys and newbies to get into them. And I think this whole Emblaze Else thing really chops a lot of that away, because you have your thumb, you put it on, and then the menu just kind of starts to organically grow around your thumb. And then you scroll up, you get into some menu items, scroll down, you get into others. You push your thumb left, you go in, you push your thumb right, you leave the menu. And I can just see getting used to that, and it could just be like the fastest operating environment ever. Mm. Just so long as you get into the proper habits with your fingers and getting used to the OS. It just made so much sense. Yeah. And like Richard says, it's a major shame that nothing's come out of it, but it just seems like they've been trying to find carriers and to find subsidy models and ways to finance the whole thing, and it just hasn't worked out.
Yeah.
But just on the basis of what we've been shown, I really think somebody, and Microsoft would be geniuses if they picked it up.
Yeah.
Because then Windows Phone 7 would have something to sell and something really unique about it.
Mm. Do you reckon that's even likely? I mean,
I don't think it's likely.
No.
But it would be so awesome for somebody to pick it up. And it's like when Andy Lim was on that show, like we discussed something and we said it would make too much sense.
Yeah. It was Google TV, wasn't it? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm.
But I mean, it's not, there's still some hope left because they're looking to sell the platform. Or license it out. So yeah, someone might pick it up.
So do you reckon, for instance, another idea that makes total sense to me but would probably never happen, Do you reckon that'd be a good skin over a touch-sensitive Windows 7 tablet? I mean, would you be able to, as an overlay, kind of like have a full OS underneath?
The tablet wouldn't make sense. It's because it's all thumb-centric, so you have to have it in one hand.
So, I mean, we're talking... Okay, yeah, how about something like the size of a Dell Streak?
No, it wouldn't. It's locked down to... They're going for the one size, one device idea, a bit like the iPhone.
Fair enough.
No, it wouldn't work. It'd have to be a totally different interface. But still, someone can pick it up. I guess Sharp... Because Sharp made the device, maybe...
They used to make the Sidekick.
They might...
And the Vodafone...
Do you know what I think we should do?
We should buy it.
We should start up a rumor, right? Ooh. Today... that LG are going to buy it. Introduce that rumor to Samsung, right? And then Samsung start thinking, oh wait, LG are going to do a whole new interface. We need to do something else. Maybe we should outbid them.
Get rid of Bada. Right. I mean, come on. That thing is a dog. That's my opinion, but seriously, come on guys, it's a dog.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So swap it out. Yeah, great.
I feel bad now because I've actually met the guy who leads the whole project.
No, I'm sorry, guys. You know, I don't mean offence. If you happen to be one of the guys working on it, there's too many platforms in the market now, and Bada is never, ever going to make traction. Sorry.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Hey, but look.
We've just lost our Korean subscribers.
Anyway.
But look, Lauren works in PR as her, you know, hobby, right?
A main job.
So I mean, you know the fact that if your product or whatever your company has isn't all that great, I mean, you guys are fine with us knocking, right?
Well, yeah, ooh. I think that
she's trying to speak PR now, like trying not to.
No.
So you mean as in Windows is coming up in the world?
No, no, what I'm saying is, let's say you work for Windows Mobile 6.5 today.
Yeah.
And we lay into it.
Yeah.
I mean...
How does that make you feel?
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I think that's just a challenge, isn't it? So it's kind of, you know, I think that when you work in PR, you invariably kind of come across some things that perhaps you don't necessarily believe in fully or you think isn't the greatest thing in the world or whatever. And it's just about kind of trying to find the good things that are within that and then just talking about that a lot and just ignoring the bits that aren't so good.
So basically, you're basically...
Everyone has a hard sell.
You're basically whoring up your products.
Yeah, that's a lovely way to put it.
Not my words, actually.
Things just went like in a really funny direction there.
But anyway, so you don't take it personally, I guess.
Everyone's entitled to their opinion, and we all have our opinions as well. We just don't get to talk about it quite as much when it's... Yeah.
So if we hate on it, does that automatically put us in your bad books?
No, not at all.
I don't think PR people are allowed to have bad books.
No.
It's bad for business.
Well,
bad books, bad for business. Put the two together.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, no one likes a bad review.
You get blacklisted, though. I mean, you look at the whole Apple Gizmodo thing. They're never ever going to get anywhere near any Apple event ever again, are they?
But that's because Apple is like this really prissy. I don't know. Apple's latest behavior is like this upper class girl who just kind of strolled out into the world and met all these weird and wonderful things and just can't deal with them. That's how Apple is behaving right now.
An uptown girl.
Yeah, I was going to say uptown girl.
Probably shouldn't say a girl because that makes me sound sexist. But just this kind of isolated, sheltered life and then just come out into the world from it. I don't know.
I think they just kind of look down their nose at everyone. They're in a position where, you know, they can say no to people. They can
because it's their events. It's their products.
Yeah,
I don't see why people were making a big fuss about Gizmodo being banned because, you know, they...
No, I just highlighted it as a blacklisting. I mean, you know...
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing. There have been Nokia leaks all over the place.
Yeah.
Every year there's a Nokia leak. Yeah. Pretty much every big product.
Yeah.
Samsung, LG, everyone else has had a leak. And people just kind of, you know, deal with it. At a recent Motorola event, they said, we're not happy with leaks, we put in a lot of effort, with blah, 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 blah.
Mm.
But they happen.
Mm.
So you just have to just get on with it. And, okay, I'm not even going to discuss Gizmodo's behavior and all that stuff, but when something comes out, you just have to, you know, get on with your work. And your work isn't to police what journalists are doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your work is to make great products.
Yeah. Well, I mean, infuse them with magic. This is a special case, I know, because there might have been a theft. We don't know.
Yeah, indeed. Distortion. Indeed. So, don't really want to get mixed up in that. Yeah. But
whatever. I mean.
I think if you know, as a, if you were a journalist and you were given something that just came onto your table, then I think that it's going to be quite difficult not to want to cover it, because the whole point of it is that everyone wants to be first and have something different.
Yeah.
So I don't think that anyone can really hate on it or blacklist. But as you say, I think the Gizmodo thing is slightly different.
But you know, it's just the vibe. I mean, we already discussed the latest letter from Apple, which is all, you know, catty and like... Well, because other people took the mickey. Nokia and Motorola took the mickey out of the holding thing. Yeah. So Nokia said, you can grip your Nokia anywhere you like. And then they started, you know, showing different grips.
But I have seen manuals before which say don't hold it in this space because you block the antenna.
Yeah, but they wouldn't go all the way down to 0 bars.
Well, they might do if you're in a weak signal area. And that's the point that Apple's making.
But it's really petty behavior, because Nokia took the mickey. Motorola took the mickey with the latest Droid X ad. And now Apple is coming back and saying, oh, well, every phone has this. BlackBerries, Nokias, Motorolas, Droids, yada, yada, yada. And it's just really juvenile. And it's off-putting. And also, the vibe that I got with the Gizmodo story is that even if somebody had obtained the iPhone 4 or obtains the iPhone 5 in a perfectly legitimate way, you still kind of feel like Apple will ostracize that company for publishing ahead of time. And that is just not good at all, because I think ultimately what's going to happen is that publications are just going to have enough of Apple's nonsense and just say, well, you know, you guys are laying down way too many of these conditions and blah, 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 blah. Like, you can't say this about a product or whatever. I don't know. It just feels like it's a very constrictive thing, and they're getting involved in something that isn't their job.
Well, it's funny, you know, Apple runs on hype. I mean, it's all about hype.
Yeah.
And their secrecy control is all about generating hype. I mean, if you don't have anything to look at directly, but you know something's coming, then the hype around it, the rumors around it spin. Yeah. You've got to look at the iPhone 4. I mean, 1.7 million in 3 days with barely any advertising. I didn't see any, did you?
No, it's been all about the iPad.
So it's hype generation. But do you reckon people will ever get sick of it and get to the point where, whatever. I'm not going to report on it.
I don't know, though. Could you?
No, I don't
could
think...
Could you avoid
I don't think that's the thing.
You
can't. I don't think you can avoid writing about it. It's a huge, major consumer product. And for the most part, it's been the most innovative product that we've had, whatever they're bringing out. Okay, not the iPhone 3GS. I'm not going to say that was particularly innovative when they just, like, bumped speeds a bit. But let's face it, the iPad and the iPhone 4 have been. And I mean, even if we throw it back to the iMac, I just wrote a post recently about all-in-ones.
Yeah.
And I realized that there is no PC equivalent to the iMac.
Not any real good ones. No. I mean, there are ones. I mean, you've got the Dell One and things like that, but...
Yeah, but something as powerful and, let's say, with an IPS screen as well.
Yeah, so true.
There isn't. So these are really significant consumer electronics products and you need to cover them. But when I mention conditions, I'm speaking about things like, what if Apple says to publications, if you hit any leaks about our products, we're not going to give you a review unit, or we're not going to let you allow into our event.
Yeah, press event, yeah.
That's when, you know, it just kind of becomes dodgy, and I think people can just, you know, throw their hands up and say, okay, well, we're not coming to your events, but we're going to, you know, work really hard to get leaks.
Yeah.
And we're going to be kind of snarky.
Yeah. We're going to cover everything from your dirty laundry to the bums you make in the kind of product cycle. Yeah, I guess that's another way to look at it. Maybe that's what we're going to see from the next product cycle. Yeah, anyway. So I think it's about time we wrap this up. We've been bitching a lot about Apple from both sides of the thing. We've had a bit of insight.
We just can't avoid it.
Yeah, I know. So we promise next episode we'll try and be Apple-free. Okay, so...
it's all oranges next episode.
Yeah, okay. Oh, and then...
Speaking of orange...
Yeah. But that's for another story, right?
Really?
So, yeah.
So,
I mean, everything, everything everywhere?
Yeah.
So...
Well, that's the story anyway, so...
Yeah.
Done.
If you've got any views on that, do let us know, and we'll cogitate it on the week, and we'll let you know our thoughts. So, thanks for joining us, guys. I'd just like to say thank you very much for joining us, Lauren.
Awesome.
If people want more from you, where can they find you?
They can find me at, they just search Tech Tail Girl, or I'm at Laura McGregor on Twitter.
Okay, and about Facebook, have you got a Facebook fan page?
I don't know.
Well, next on the list.
We'll start one up.
Yeah. And for the rest of us, you can find us at therapsheet.co.uk. You can send us an email to podcast@therapsheet.co.uk. Find us on Twitter, The Rap Sheet, or indeed Facebook, our fan page. We now have a great 30 fans. So if any listeners want to get in on the Facebook action, we're Facebook/therapsheet.
Get your mums and dads, your cousins to join the group.
You know, especially cousins.
If we hit a decent number, cousins, you know, we might actually start doing some Facebook exclusives. So you never know.
Facebook
exclusives.
I'm interested already.
Yeah. So thanks for joining us, guys. It's been another episode of The Rap Sheet. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye.